This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart, and this is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join Trader Nick in the United States at the end of a tumultuous week. How are you doing, Nick?
Hi, Johnny. I'm good. Hanging in there. Yes, very, very busy week.
Absolutely. We've had some bleary eyes over the last few days watching these historic events unfold with, of course, President-elect Trump back in the White House from January onwards. And the repercussions of that incredible win continue. The main headlines today, though, you just said to me off air, the S&P has just gone through 6,000 for the first time ever, which is a pretty big deal, isn't it?
It is. And I think it's something crazy to think about. You know, at the beginning of this year, analysts were nowhere near thinking the S&P 500 would hit 6,000. And here we are, especially when given the environment that we've been in for the last few years doing the podcast and you know, just as participants in all of this craziness, everything from, you know, the COVID pandemic and volatile elections and all sorts of different things have happened, you know, the Middle East, Ukraine, I mean, so many things. And yet here is the S&P 500 amidst all of that at a record high and at 6,000, which is a very big milestone for the index. Again, stocks higher off of a number of things. We can't contribute this entirely to the Trump trade, though recently there's been a burst in enthusiasm, it seems, for stocks off of the idea of lower taxes and potentially less regulation. But at the same time, you know, we still have to give our flowers here to what I think is a pretty good job done by the Fed overall. That being said, you know, we see inflation has come down a long ways. Some would argue maybe it shouldn't have ever gotten as high as it did in the first place. But, you know, all things considered, given the last few years, the Fed has really seemingly helped the inflation situation. Interest rates seem to be on the way down. The economy is, you know, has slowed, but not, you know, falling apart by any means. And so we look at all of this and you say, okay, well, we've got a pretty good environment compared to where we were a few years ago.
So the S&P through the 6,000 mark, oil is on the slide today, Nick. Brent crude down more than 2.5%. WTI a few moments ago down 3%, just above $70 a barrel. What is behind those numbers? I'm assuming it's got something to do with China.
Yeah, we've got Chinese stocks down 5.5% or so here today. You know, big slide for Chinese stocks. And this came off the back of less stimulus than what was expected. That's kind of been the theme here recently. We've got this big excitement in Chinese stocks following the idea that the Chinese central bank was going to step in and really stimulate the economy, get things going. And so today we're seeing sort of a reaction to lesser than previously hoped for stimulus plans coming out. And so we see not only the Chinese stock market sliding, but several commodities down here today, gold, silver, copper, oil, all of this sort of industrial commodities really seeing a bit of a hit today because, of course, China is a massive exporter and manufacturing economy. It's the second largest economy in the world. So when you get, you know, less hopefulness for the Chinese scenario, it's going to hurt the demand potentially for commodities. That being said, one other thing that's pressure on these commodities is the uncertainty about Trump's potential tariffs, right? Because again, what could happen there if you disrupt the Chinese, not just the Chinese, but European and UK and all these other places, if we disrupt the international trade process, what does that do to the global economy as well as the demand for commodities? So commodities lower, and as you mentioned, oil specifically down 2.8% here. And in some ways, this is a good thing. In other ways, it's perhaps a red flag. But the one positive is that low oil prices have been helping the inflation story abroad. And we'll see if that can sort of persist and be the case. I do think that it is sort of a bipartisan thing, more so than it used to be with oil prices, to keep them low. I think we all got a little shell-shocked globally with the inflation stuff. And so it is a joint effort, both on the Republican and Democrat side, to really keep oil prices low. And that could signal more creation of it here domestically in the United States.
So following the election of Donald Trump, so many repercussions from that. One of them, possibly, the departure or not of Jay Powell, the head of the Federal Reserve. Many people have suggested that Donald Trump doesn't want him in place, doesn't like him, and will try and get rid of him. But I'm not sure he can he? I mean, we heard from Jay Powell earlier on, who said that he would not leave of his own accord, and the president does not have the right to get rid of him independently.
Yeah, and he actually got asked that during the press conference by two different people, if he would step down if asked to resign by the president first off, and he said no. And then they asked him about the legality of whether or not the president could remove him from his post. And he said that the Fed had looked into that and that the answer is no. So, you know, the question of whether or not Trump will be able to remove him is I guess, a hotly debated thing. The bigger question, though, would be, would Congress do that, which is apparently the one that has the ability to actually depose him of his position. And I guess to your point about Trump not liking him, yeah, it is true. I mean, if you take a look at the recent clip that went sort of viral where he said he has one of the easiest jobs in government, saying that he can just show up once a month and, you know, flip a coin. And, you know, there was clearly some perhaps animosity between the two of them. We'll see how that plays out. I mean, I think that overall, Jerome Powell has been largely positively spoken of in terms of his ability to lead the Fed in the last few years, given such a difficult time. And I wonder how that would impact markets if something were to change with the leadership of the Federal Reserve.
Well, it'll be interesting to follow that story and see what happens. Of course, from a geopolitical point of view, Nick, with the new president coming in January, a lot could happen between now and then. And I'm particularly thinking of the Middle East with the situation between Israel, Iran, and Iran's proxies. And of course, Ukraine. Here in Europe, many are extremely worried about Donald Trump's view of the Ukraine war with Russia and whether or not the United States might indeed withdraw support, financial and military, when Trump assumes the presidency. So a lot to contemplate, and the economic ramifications from both of these current wars in the Ukraine and in the Middle East could actually affect us for many, many years to come.
Yeah, and a very difficult and touchy subject in general. You know, I have been saying this on my different, you know, shows and things that I've done, is the first thing foremost is, you know, regardless of personal feelings towards or against Donald Trump, let's just hope that global peace is better where it is, better than where it is today in the coming years. You know, again, whether you like him or not, let's just hope for that. That being said, his approach to it, as you mentioned, will be controversial inevitably. I know that there was something already put out by Putin, which there was a statement that Putin basically said he's ready to essentially negotiate with Donald Trump about the situation in Ukraine. And again, fingers crossed, let's hope for some sort of peaceful resolution that, you know, causes the least amount of suffering. There will always be difficult components to this. And I guess from a market standpoint, we do see gold prices lower, which the market is maybe suggesting there that they think that perhaps Donald Trump and Putin and his, you know, all these different figures could find a way to come to some resolutions. And again, we hope for the best there. If that does happen, right, what does that do to commodity prices? Well, oil likely stays down, right? There's probably still, even at low prices here in oil, a premium being applied to oil's you know, price, simply because there's uncertainty in multiple fields of the world, right? Whether it be China and Taiwan or Ukraine and Russia in the Middle East, there's all these different uncertain events that are happening, and a premium on the price of oil and gold. So perhaps a little bit of downside on those things could occur if you see some resolutions to those scenarios. On the other hand, if things get worse and there is not as much progress as that people are hopeful for, yes, those things could continue to be a very difficult situation that we deal with in the coming years. And again, we can only hope that things get in better and more peaceful resolutions come out of the next few years.
Now, I know most of the action has been on your side of the pond this week, but we did have the small matter, actually, in comparison to what's been going on in the United States. It is a small matter of the Bank of England reducing interest rates by 25 basis points on Wednesday, Nick. Our rates are now 4.75%. it wasn't that significant because it was expected. What was more significant, actually, was the mood music from the Bank of England suggesting that we're not going to have many more cuts, if any, this year, and they're going to stay higher for longer, which certainly helped the pound, but disappointed many in the markets.
Yeah, and you know, when we look at the central banks around the world kind of cutting rates, that's the question. As you mentioned, we have Bank of England cutting rates, maybe signaling. I saw that the bank rate votes came in pretty much as expected. They weren't largely different than what was forecasted on that front. And you know, the other thing is, we go back just for a moment to that oil story. That inversely sort of or disproportionately helps or hurts Europe and the UK, right? Because we saw the inflation situation really hurt those places even more so than the United States, simply because Russia is, you know, a huge provider of energy to Europe. So when we look at this situation with all these central banks attempting to cut rates, the question is really truly, what happens with oil prices for the coming months? I mean, if they stay low, that helps most central banks accomplish their goal of cutting rates. But we're looking at oil prices at very low levels currently. If they were to perk up or spike up, that could really disrupt the story as well. So there's so many different variables here. You also mentioned to me on the last podcast, Johnny, that GDP growth expectations could get hurt a little bit, which I thought was a really interesting point, from the tariffs that could come. That's another thing we've really got to watch closely for when trying to analyze, you know, the UK economy, the European economy, the Chinese economy, these things that have a lot of exposure to US, you know, exporting, because we'll have to see how those, if those come into play, how are they distributed? Are they are more favorable to our allies or not? You know, that's the big question, I think, for a lot of these countries that a large component of their GDP, like the UK, is centered around exports to the US.
Okay, what's happening over the next few days? Surely it's going to be a much quieter week next week, Nick, after all the huge mammoth events over the last few days.
I think so, although not too much quieter, simply because we have on Wednesday, we have the CPI number coming out. Inflation numbers are still very important. We want to keep seeing those come in low. And last time we had a little bit of a surprise to the upside in inflation. So I'm sure markets will be paying attention to that in the US. Same thing with the producer price index. And on Thursday, we do hear again from Jerome Powell. And with sort of a tense situation here about job security, I'm sure many people will keep an eye on that speech from him as well. So very big week next week, not as big as this one. We have retail sales closing us out on Friday, but still plenty of key economic data to come.
Excellent stuff. Thanks very much for joining us. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Johnny. You too.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.